$2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling through the happier Monday happy hour. It's a J6 Monday, Dom, and the hearings, they went off a little bit delayed. Apparently, the star witness, a hostile witness, perhaps, Bill Stefian. He was the campaign chair to Donald Trump. And you know, he is the campaign chair of Liz Cheney's primary opponent in Wyoming. So the fact that this guy's wife's having a child, you know, they acknowledged, you know, good enough excuse. Your wife's in labor. You can leave, sir. But I'm thinking it's a C-section, Don, like they meant to do it this way. Anyways, back to Jennifer Rubin, her headline at the Post. The January 6th committee exposed Trump's lies and indicted the GOP in the process. Now, Dom, I'm going to jump down in the body of this work. And, you know, if I get all blurry eyed, you might have to carry me for a bit.
I got you, brother.
Before the Monday session began, the committee announced that Trump's former campaign manager, Bill Stepien, would not appear as scheduled due to his wife going into labor. That might have been fortuitous given the difficulty of questioning a hostile witness. Stepien, who is advising the campaign of Rep. Liz Cheney's primary opponent and other MAGA candidates, might have sought to throw sand in the gears of the proceedings. Nevertheless, Stepien's pre-recorded video testimony, as well as the testimony from former Attorney General William Barr and former Fox News editor Chris Steigerwald, demolished the notion that there was ever evidence of fraud that would reverse the election's outcome. Barr told Trump this. So did Stepien. So did Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen. When the Justice Department officials debunked baseless claims one by one about fraud in Michigan, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Trump threw out even more ludicrous claims. The primary officials pushing the big lie were crazed confidants such as drunken Rudy Giuliani, and the old Green Bay sweep himself guy, Peter Navarro, just can't keep his mouth shut. A little bit more here. Navarro at one point accused Trump, then campaign lawyer, being in league with the deep state. Deep state, Dom.
That was the last call that attorney took from Navarro. I'll jump in here. Cody Barr testified in his deposition that at one point Trump yelled at him and the White House counsel. Quote, he was as mad as I'd ever seen him, and he was trying to control himself, Barr said. He paraphrased Trump's reply. Well, this is, you know, killing me. You didn't have to say this. You must have said this because you hate Trump. Barr went through evidence to debunk allegations of fraud in Detroit. He called the claims about Dominion voting machines idiotic. Trump was indignant. The next day, Trump reiterated on Fox News the same claims Barr had debunked. The same claims his attorney general has told him were false. Trump went on the news the next day on Fox, not news, on Fox, and made the same claims. Rubin continues. On December 14th, Trump again insisted there was no fraud, claiming it meant he would have had a second term. Barr observed that Trump had become detached from reality and reiterated that the election was not stolen by fraud. He was convinced Trump wasn't listening. All this leads to the conclusion that Trump was so adamant not to acquire the loser title that he furiously sought confirmation of specious allegations. Finding none, he was willing to burn down the system to keep power.
Burn it down, baby, burn it down.
This is not delusion. It's intentional destruction of American democracy. Let me state that again for all you MAGAs out there. This was not a delusion. He didn't believe it. It was the intentional destruction of American democracy. Rubin writes, skeptics might claim Trump was so nuts that he disbelieved every advisor who dismissed claims that the election was rigged. If that's the case, what's the excuse for election deniers such as House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy? If Trump is deranged, Republicans bear an even greater responsibility for the mayhem and continued threat to democracy. Presumably, they can process facts and accept the findings of the Trump inner circle, the courts, and Republican secretaries of state that there was no fraud rendering the election illegitimate. And if I may just interject here.
Oh, please do.
Let alone their own election that they won on the same election day, on the same ballot, on the same election process. Rubin continues, other witnesses on Monday proved just as devastating. Young B.J. Pak, a former U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Georgia, testified that Barr had told him he had not seen evidence of a suitcase of ballots in Atlanta, but to go investigate. The suitcase was an official lockbox. There was no fraud. Pak described a remarkably thorough investigation, the conclusions of which were relayed to Trump. Former acting Deputy Attorney General Richard Donahue, via video, also testified, quote, "We looked into that, and it's just not true. I told the president myself that several times." Pak's testimony seems to confirm the widely held opinion of many legal experts that prosecution of Trump for his actions to pressure Georgia state election officials might be the easily proven aspect of Trump's coup attempt. In that regard, the J6 committee hearings as much aimed at Fannie Willis, the district attorney investigating Trump's efforts to overturn the election in Fulton County, as well as AG Merrick Garland.
So, sort of a dual audience. It's not just the American people. Well, of course, it's the Department of Justice and the Attorney General down in Georgia. Fulton County could be a hotbed soon for legal action, Dom.
And
They've got their grand jury.
They do, and they've been working their asses off. She's doing a great job down there. Jennifer Rubin continues. Barr's testimony similarly debunked claims that there were more votes than voters in Philadelphia, which Barr called rubbish. Philadelphia's former Republican City Commissioner Al Schmidt also testified that his office checked out all claims, no matter how insane, and found nothing. He described the intense level of threats following Trump's malicious accusations via Twitter. The threats became more specific and graphic.
You think that's bad? Go light him up on Fox News and see what sort of love letter she gets.
Yeah, you got some hate mail.
Oh, yeah, pretty. I got some new... Shadecasters,
wow,
and haters.
It's about time, man. You know you're doing something right when you get some hate mail. This whole time, man. Too much love.
Well, no one's directly threatened my life, but someone take me out back by the woodshed, Dom.
Rubin writes, Republican election attorney Ben Ginsburg testified that the 2020 election was not close and that Trump had his day in court. Isn't this the guy that did the Bush v. Gore, right? I mean, this guy kind of knows something about these things. It was not close, Republican election attorney Ben Ginsburg said Trump had his day in court. Hey, Mega, are you listening?
Didn't he have like 61 days in court?
He had 62, 61 he lost, and the one that he quote-unquote won benefited neither election.
Election observers a little closer in Philadelphia.
He reminded the committee that post-election audits found no credible evidence of fraud. Excerpts of opinions from one Trump-appointed judge after another confirmed the lack of evidence. At the close of Monday's session, Rep. Zoe Lofgren, a Democrat from California, showed how Trump used fake election claims of fraud to raise hundreds of millions of dollars, encouraging supporters to donate to the, quote, official election defense fund, which the committee says does not exist. If true, the Trump campaign and Trump personally could be liable for a scam. Once more, Trump has been revealed to be a huckster. Financial fraud seems to be promising leads to follow. On the 50th anniversary of Watergate, once more, we should remember, follow the money. In the end, no reasonable person could doubt the outcome of the 2020 election. Trump never had evidence of fraud. He was willing to destroy the country to stay in power when he lost. That's an indictment for the Republicans who continue to support him, Jennifer Rubin so articulately writes from the Washington Post.
I indict you, CGA. And cast dispersions upon
you. Yes, all you megas out there. And again, think of these testimony. Trump's campaign, right? Philly's Republican elections person, right? Ben Ginsburg. These are not Marxist, progressive, whatever's. These are Republicans who get paid by Republicans to help Republicans win elections. And they all went up there and said, no. No, unfortunately, they weren't screaming from the rooftops like we were when Trump was laying this all out. Coming up to the election. And what was the other one? The Red Mirage. I love this concept. Of course, Trump literally telling his own voters not to vote via absentee during the middle of a pandemic. You know, bring your ass in there and, you know, maybe catch COVID, but go and do it personally. Well, lots of Democrats, and we knew this was going to happen. This wasn't out of bounds, as was testimony provided today. This was logical. This happens every time. Dems usually vote by absentee. Absentee ballots are usually voted after the polls close and the in-person ballots are counted. This is how it works. This is how it happens in the state of Wisconsin. Every state legislature could change those laws to determine when to start counting the ballots.
No, we like to have that specter of malfeasance, even though it's very provably non-malfeasance, not here in the state of Wisconsin. Of course, the accusation was against the absentee ballots in Milwaukee, a majority-minority city in southeastern Wisconsin. And the fact that, you know, like 80% of the early absentee ballots, the mail-in ballots, in a majority-minority city that's overwhelmingly blue, the fact that they're coming in for Joe Biden and not Donald Trump was very predictable. How do we know that? The Twitter guru of the math for Republicans, guy by the name of Joe Handrick, he's in Speaker Robin Voss's office, the Republican speaker. I mean, he's a staffer there. He works in the Capitol. And he warned that it was coming, that the absentee votes in Milwaukee County were coming, and they were going to come in overwhelmingly for Joe Biden. And we're going to see the flipping of the math. So when you talk about the red mirage, of course, Dom, it was to take the early returns and the mirage that there's this red wave out there. Because, you know, they didn't care if they voted in person. COVID be damned. I'm going out to the voting place. The Republicans, the MAGAs, as you come to call them, Dom. But the Democrats didn't do that. They were safer, healthier, tried to not catch COVID. Did the early voting, did the absentee ballots. And therefore, Trump knew this expectation had already been laid out. I mean, his people aren't stupid.
No.
They told him this is what would happen. He had already declared, well, if I don't like the outcome, I'm going to call it fraud. And that's exactly what he did.
And even before, as we mentioned, earlier in the year, during early COVID, he was laying down the groundwork, laying the foundation for, you know, the absentee ballot. Well, if everyone voted absentee, there'd never be a Republican Party again, is what he says. He's insinuating the fraud. And what does that mean? Well, he knows, as do his team, as everybody does who watches and pays attention to these elections, odds are the absentee ballots are going to favor the Democrats versus, and the in-person ballots.
And damn near every state, every locality,
damn near every state, and damn near every election, every time. So, you know, Trump knew that going in. He knew, I suspect, that he was going to lose. I mean, come on, man. The economy was in the tank. People were dying left and right from COVID. He got caught, you know, telling Bob Woodward something and telling the American people something entirely different. I mean, the odds were not looking good for him to win. He lost the House. He lost the Senate. He lost almost a million people. Now there's a million people dead. I'm not sure. I can't believe that anyone would think that Trump would win that election.
It's because you don't have the proper herd mentality, Dom. You remember the guy that wrote the anonymous letter? You know, like, we're inside the House and we're keeping the world safe from Donald Trump. You remember that?
Vaguely, yes.
The anonymous guy went on Nicole Wallace's show over on MSNBC today. Matthew Chapman over at The Raw Story wrote it up so I could tell you about it. On Monday's edition of MSNBC's Deadline White House, former national security official Miles Taylor outlined how former President Donald Trump's election lies undermine the institutional guardrails of American democracy. You don't say. Hmm. At a key point, Taylor told anchor Nicole Wallace that Trump knew what he was saying was false and continued ahead pushing it. I made the mistake, Nicole, of saying publicly, Trump's crazy. His advisors know it, but don't worry. There are people around him who are aware of it, according to his anonymous 2018 op-ed at the New York Times. That was wrong. The guardrails of democracy weren't strong. Trump systematically dismantled them. And the folks who were at the very end, they already knew that. They knew that the rational points they would make to him would not be accepted because Trump's tactic is to latch on, as you said, Nicole, to the last person in the room who reflects his views and discard the others. He is the king of cognitive dissonance. Those people knew that. And you know, like Drunken Rudy. Come back. More Devils. One last chance for your phone calls. 844-96-PARTY.